This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. Anywhere you get your podcasting content from, we're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description box, so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from John chapter 5, verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life.
It's a big, big theme in the Gospel of John is belief. Belief, especially in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. And that's a big thing because that's really truly the mode of salvation is belief in him. You know we admit that we're a sinner, but then we believe that Jesus is who he says he is and confess that he's Lord. And John, I think, explicitly states, I'm writing this so that you will believe.
Yep.
He outright says in his gospel, that's his goal. And so I think as Christians, that's our goal as well. And not just to believe, but to grow in our belief, because there's a lot of time where belief can wane.
Yeah. This is an important passage because a lot of times people will have that mistaken approach saying that Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. This is pretty explicitly claiming to be the Son of God. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life.
Yep.
That's pretty clear.
And then in the same gospel, I think it's in the passage before the chapter before this or after this, the woman at the well says, oh, straight up, are you the Messiah? And guess what he says? He says, I am he.
I am.
100% yes. So he does claim to be the Son of God.
Which reminds us that, you know, the religious leaders, they weren't surprised to find out that Jesus was God's son after the fact. They knew. They knew what was happening, and they tricked themselves into believing a lie.
You know, what's important to know, and as I think is a good sobering reminder, is they were well-versed in the Scripture. A lot of times better than we're well-versed in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be that way. You can get these verses to your phone every single day through the Date the Word app. They're a partial sponsor of today's episode. Make sure you download it right now. It's 100% free on iPhone and Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's Word with the hope of making it more memorable for you. I got a user-submitted question in today. I love these million-dollar questions, by the way. We try to do one every Friday. Sometimes we do them on other days, but people send them in like crazy. They love these million-dollar questions. You know what I really wish is that they would actually send us the check. I'll do it.
Yeah, that would be great.
Like, I'll do it, especially this one. This one is a no-brainer, but I feel like it could get out of hand. $1 million.
Uh-huh.
Every single time that you are somewhere where a hymn is being sung.
Sure.
You don't do 1, 2, and 4. You do every verse.
Sure.
Yeah, I felt that too. But at the same time, it's like some of those hymns get ridiculous.
That's true. Now, there are some hymns that have like 7, 8, 10 verses. So that could drastically lengthen the service.
I think it might be Come Thou Fount, or it might be another one, but it's like some of the hymns are ridiculously long.
Yeah. Yeah, I would take that.
I think I would do it too. I'm going to look up which hymns have the most verses. Did you grow up with hymns, or did you grow up with Christian contemporary?
I grew up with hymns.
Really?
Yep.
See, I grew up in 2007. I was saved in 2007. CCM was on the rise.
Yeah. So we sang contemporary Christian music like in youth events, but in church it was hymns.
Mm-hmm.
At the church that I grew up in, it still is hymns.
Yeah. There's one I just saw. I think it's called "Oh Dearest Jesus" has 15 verses.
Huh?
"Oh Dearest Jesus" has 15 verses.
15 verses.
Let me see. How many verses are there to a Good traditional hymn? Gracious. Yeah, a lot of them. I think there's one. "Be Thou My Vision" has.
It's got quite a few.
Yeah, and I think what's the one that we did that one time? It wasn't "Come Thou Fount," but I think it was. I think "Come Thou Fount" only has the three. But I know there's a bunch that have a lot of verses. Okay, so, oh my good gracious. According to Guinness World Records, "Sing God's Song" by Carolyn Ann Aish of Inglewood, New Zealand, is the longest published hymn with 754 verses or 3,016 lines, and each verse has an additional four-line refrain. You still going to take that for $1 million? You get there and you see on the bulletin, "Sing God's Song." You're like, come on!
That's it. Buckle in. Worship is going to be 45 minutes.
This is the one. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. 18 stanzas. 18
wow.
verses, yeah.
Wow.
Some of them, that's what I'm saying. You know like 1, 2, and 4, but you don't know. Let me see. I'm going to pick a stanza at random.
That is wild.
"Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and ye be lame for joy." I'm gonna pick another one. "Awake from guilty nature sleep, and Christ shall give you light. Cast all your sins into the deep, and wash the Ethiop white." By the way, we maybe shouldn't say that one. Get us into the next segment, man. Just get us into the ad. Get us into the ad. $1 million, but you got to sing all 18 verses.
As long as they're not problematic verses, I would take that. I would take that. My goodness. Write in and let us know if you would take that deal. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Send us your favorite hymn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
It really says.
Yes. "Cast all your sins into the deep and wash the Ethiop white." That's what it says. No. I think it's talking about like the Ethiopian eunuch getting baptized. And so wash his sins white. Baptism. I mean, he's Methodist. So, I mean. What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time.
Hashtag Clearview Today.
The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian talk radio.
And listen, we know we are not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com. Or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. Happy Friday, listeners. We are here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, we're going to give you $1 million buckaroonies. That's $1 million.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Okay.
But here's the only bugaboo is this. Okay. Every single time that you do a hymn, whether it's here at church, whether it's at a funeral, at a wedding, anytime a hymn is sang or sung,
okay,
you will do every single verse. No skipping verses.
And how much do I get?
$1 million.
I'll take it.
Really? So
that's what I said. It just lengthens everything. But
yeah, but I mean, it gets old. Like, so, like a lot of hymns, like in America, like in old church, we don't do a ton of hymns. But when we do like, we'll put it in a like a contemporary song. We'll do maybe a verse.
Yeah.
A lot of them have 4 verses. Some of them have like 10.
Yeah.
but you'll
That's
do
what
it.
The rest of the world has been doing until I came to America. So, for our second and last.
Yeah.
I'm like, what happened to the third one?
Yeah, wait, we just don't like the third one?
A fourth, fifth? No.
So $1 million. But anytime you do a hymn, you may end up doing like 27 verses among 3 hymns.
Sure.
Oh, wow.
I'll do it. $1 million in my way.
Okay. Like, that might get old, but you know what doesn't get old? $1 million.
True.
On today's episode, we are, you know, in light of tradition, in light of, you know, time-honored establishments in our faith. Today is the anniversary of John Wesley's conversion.
Mm.
Most people believe it was on May the 24th, 1738.
That's right.
That he came to Christ for the first time.
That's right. He came from an amazing family, okay? Mom and dad were in the ministry, of course. Dad was a minister. But his dad always stayed in some kind of controversy.
Really?
Always fighting with somebody somewhere.
Just want some drama.
Dad was stirring up the tea.
Always
spilling tea,
arguing,
stirring
fussing,
something up.
Fighting.
Come on, Dad.
And if it wasn't for Susanna, the mom, I don't know if we would have ever heard of John and Charles Wesley.
Oh, Susanna. Mm.
Susanna was just an amazing woman. She was just very godly. And of course, Dad was too. He just was always in some mess.
As my mom would say, he was always stirring up a stink.
That's exactly what he would be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly. We don't have time.
Always people in the church stirring up a stink.
Stirring
you
up
know.
A stink.
Yeah, but that's just part of what makes them who they are.
He'd always be coming up to you, be like, "Can I just ask for some prayer?" And it's like a red flag.
I wouldn't say like that.
Yeah.
I don't think John and Charles Wesley's dad or Susanna's husband was quite like that. He was more like, "Now I have a point to make about that."
Oh no!
That right there is a travesty of the traditions. He was not as much on the traditional side of things. He was more just contentious. Kind of like this Puritan separatist type person.
The guy that would like demand a Sunday school class for him to put
his
views all over.
Oh, he would make a point out of something that you would say, well, you know, can we not just, let it not be the hill on which we die.
Yeah.
No, that's the hill he's going to die on. That's the hill he's going to die on.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That hill's going to have my body on it today.
Like the TikTok video you showed me of the guy who is fussing about the hymns.
Mm-hmm.
Like hymns should not have any music to it.
Yeah, they should. I genuinely thought it was a joke. He had someone, there's a guy on TikTok who argues with a ton of people, and he was arguing that hymns should not have music. When you worship God,
it should not have any music.
There's no instruments, and it's just your voice. And I thought it was like, okay, this is a preference thing. This is a joke. No, he's like, the New Testament, God does not authorize it. I will die on this. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And then he tried to clarify. It made it even worse. He was like, now, don't get me wrong. Instruments are not sinful, but it's not worship, and God will not accept that worship. And I was like, this dude is really crazy. I sent it to Dr. Shah, and he was like, that's real. People believe that.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I think we've talked about a lot on the show. The more we've been doing the show, the more exposed I've become to different levels of what people believe, and I am floored.
Right.
Yeah. I'm floored. I didn't grow up hearing any of this stuff. I didn't think this was actually what people believed, but it's 100% what people believe and what they do.
That's right.
That's insane.
Right. So that was their dad, Samuel Wesley.
Man,
just always, you know, had something to fight against. He was overzealous in some areas. Kind of grew up in a dissenting tradition. You know, we're not going to go along with this Romish church. Yeah. Well, we're not going to go along with the where the Anglican church is headed. Of course, he was an Anglican minister, but still, you know, that's the mindset with which John and Charles Wesley grew up. So, you know, how we grow up or the family that we have is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
Because that sets the tone of where we will be headed. So it's not like, oh my goodness, they had such a horrible dad. No, it's what made them such trailblazers when it came to writing hymns.
Mm-hmm.
Charles really is the one, the hymn writer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made John Wesley the man he became, who said when he was denied the pulpits in England, he said, the whole world is my parish.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for a dad like Samuel Wesley, I don't think John and Charles would have turned out the way they did.
That's a great point. Yeah. That's a great point. Because
we forget that.
Yeah, and we forget that the troubles that we go through, or even just the things, the environment that we grow up in, it's not just things that we overcome. It's things that work together for our good. And
right.
I think that's a great way to say it. It's like, well, would it have been more pleasant if he hadn't been that way, if he'd just been an easygoing guy? Maybe. But it would not have shaped them into the people they become.
We forget that, but that's how we are. We are raised mm-hmm. has a lot to do with who we become.
Yeah. True.
And it's not necessarily always bad, mm-hmm. right? If their dad was not the type to fight against the establishment or fight against, the clergy who had held the church hostage kind of thing, John and Charles would not have done what they did.
That's true.
They would have just gone along with the tradition and just been the church kids or the preacher's kids mm-hmm. who grow up and become lawyers or explorers or whatever else,
right.
or doctors,
mm-hmm.
but they grew up different, and of course because of that they both went to Oxford,
mm-hmm.
right? John and Charles went to Oxford. In Oxford they met up with another one by the name of George Whitefield,
mm-hmm.
and they formed what they called the little Holy Club in Oxford. This is in 1729. And then in 1735, which is 3 years before his conversion, both John and Charles came to America, especially to Georgia.
So I'm wondering if they grew up in a minister's home, and what was his name? What was his father's name?
Samuel.
If Samuel Wesley was so into this, why was he a grown adult when he was converted? Was he just not into, did he just not buy into Christianity? I'm talking about John Wesley.
No, he bought into Christianity.
Okay.
In fact, he came to America to share the gospel with the Indians.
Right.
So he came, but it hadn't touched his heart.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
You know,
he grew up in it.
Right. He grew up in it. He grew up sort of Christian, quote unquote, but he did not grow up saved.
Got you. I got you.
And so He comes here, and then he makes that strange statement, you know, I went to the Americas to convert the Indians, but who will convert me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he comes back, and when he comes back through a Moravian friend, I mean, of course, he had seen the Moravians on the ships. You know, Moravians are more than just those cookie makers.
Right, yeah. Right.
at the time, I don't know what they are today. Yeah. Who knows? Everybody's gone off the deep end, but hopefully the Moravians are doing right.
Right.
But they were in a storm, and he saw how the Moravians had the joy of the Lord mm-hmm. in them, and they were singing and making melody to the Lord, and he was like, man, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when this happened, a Moravian friend by the name of Peter Bowler, he came to understand that the doctrine of faith in Christ alone is what brings us salvation,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
okay? And then on the evening of May the 24th, he went to a prayer meeting in Aldersgate Street, which is in London.
Mm-hmm.
And as he is in that prayer meeting, he's hearing the gospel. I think they were reading from Luther's preface to Galatians, I believe it was, or Romans, mm-hmm. Galatians. And as he's hearing that, he makes that famous statement, I felt my heart strangely warmed. And that was his conversion experience.
Wow.
He finally got it, and he finally received it, and he felt it.
I think that's a great testimony, even for those of us who did grow up in church. Because, you know, I heard the gospel for the first time when I was 15 years old, and I knew Jesus was a thing,
mm-hmm,
you know what I mean? And I knew, it's like, hey, Jesus loves you, this I know. Cool. Heard all that. But never did I hear the gospel actually preached to me until I was about 15. So sometimes I do wonder like what it'll be like for my kids or even for the vast majority of Christians who did grow up in church to also have that conversion mm-hmm. experience to not. Sometimes I wonder what it's like to be saved after you've heard for so long. Right. You know what I mean? If, I don't know if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we have people here at Clearview because we have people getting baptized of all ages, but especially young kids who respond to God and they, you know, they get saved and they follow through with his command to be baptized. And so we have parents all the time come and ask us, like, is it okay that my kid is this young? Is it, do they really understand?
Yeah, yeah.
And they do. They genuinely do. Right. But you said this before, Dr. Shaw, if we as parents, as believers, are doing our job right, our kids may not remember a time before Christ.
Right.
They may not remember that like pre-conversion life because, you know, they've grown up hearing the gospel.
Right. And so accepting Christ was just a natural thing to do. It's not like a radical change from this day on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know what the change came into me at 4 years of age. Mm-hmm. Probably nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that, okay, I know now that I have confessed that he is my savior, he's my king.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's that. So... you know, David asked a great question. He said, what is strangely warmed and how is it different from Mormon burning in bosom?
What does that mean? What is Mormon burning in bosom?
That's what Joseph Smith said, right?
He said there's a burning in his bosom?
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think strangely warmed is what his way of saying, I felt God's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In me. Mm-hmm. I felt that my faith was real.
Mm-hmm.
Now it was real. Joseph Smith, okay, he also mentions that burning in the bosom, or that's the Mormon thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the aftermath, right? If I can even use the word aftermath, or what is the what follows? What follows is heresy.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
What follows is a denial of Christ being the Son of God. And let me clarify, in case some of you out there are thinking, oh, well, Mormons believe he's the Son of God, but they also believe that Satan is also God's son.
Yeah, believing that Jesus is the Son of God is not the only thing to give you sound doctrine.
Right, because in the Mormon theology, Jesus and Satan are brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people argue with me and say, no, that's not what they, well, draw the conclusion.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not going to find a line that says they are brothers, but draw the conclusion. Mm-hmm. That's who they are. So what follows is not the same. What's your follow-up, David?
Yeah, I was looking up the Mormon burning in the bosom, and that's just seems to be a big thing. So I know that that's also the warming of the heart or the warming of the spirit thing is something that certain groups of Christians say and believe. So I didn't know how that was differentiated. Yeah.
I would say don't wait for feelings. Don't wait for emotions. Don't wait for this warming of the heart. None of that is necessary, okay? It's a confession. You believe it. Mm-hmm. You accept it. What can we learn from this experience that John Wesley had is this. You can be in church all your life and never have that moment where you received Christ as your Savior.
Mm-hmm. True.
You need to have that moment. You say, does that mean I need to have the strangely warmed feeling? No. No. That's what happened for Wesley, but doesn't mean we need to have that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what happens if I don't? Just by faith, you receive the truth.
That's right.
That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so when your kids come to you, parents or grandparents, and they tell you that they're saved or they received Jesus, don't add any extra to it and say, well, how do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a feeling. I mean, do you feel it? Do you feel something in you? Well, they may not.
Right.
Don't misunderstand Wesley's conversion and think that they got to have this heart being warmed.
Mm-hmm.
Just by faith, they're receiving the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They believe it with childlike faith. Accept that.
Yeah.
As an adult, you don't need the warm feeling. You can simply believe by faith and move on.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the warm feeling, great. I've seen that with adults, especially those who have lived a rough life or they have gone through a lot of trials and struggles in life. When they get saved, there are a lot of tears.
Yeah.
Why do you expect that on a five-year-old?
Right.
What have they done?
Right. Yeah. When I was 15, I got saved. I got saved in like a little modular unit. It was like a little trailer that they had at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have that feeling. I went home and I was like, I don't feel different.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I'm different. And then that summer, so that was in October, that next summer we went to, I'm sorry, it was winter. It was a few months later. We went to a big youth camp in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And suddenly I felt it.
Right.
And I was like, oh, wow. They did the altar call. They had like bands. I mean, it was like, wow, this feels amazing. I must be saved. And then from that point on, I never felt it in Sunday worship, never felt it. But the following year, when I went back to that camp, I did feel it again. And so the year started going by and I was like, I think I just feel it at this camp. Could it be that there's something here that they want me to feel this way? And I'm not saying that's like a manipulation or anything, but I am saying I only feel it when I go to this specific concert over the week.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know. It was just a thing where I was like, I didn't have that when I got saved.
Well, and that's a good reminder, just like we talked about, that the feeling itself is not bad. It's not wrong to feel
it's not.
No. But don't let that lead. Don't wait on that feeling in order to be like, okay, I haven't had that feeling yet, so I'm not saved until I have that feeling.
Yeah. Years ago, I was a principal and of a Christian school, and we would have this one evangelist, youth evangelist, who would come and speak. Mm-hmm. And he was coming way before I came there, or at least a few years before I came there. So the students look forward to his coming. Mm-hmm. And he himself was a great guy and still probably is. I've lost touch with him. In fact, I never had was in touch with him, but I lost contact after I left the school. But what I noticed every time that he came was that it was a big cry fest. He just had a way of speaking where people, the students would start crying. He would talk about the pit. He would talk about the rough times. He would talk about the feeling unloved and all that. And he was doing what is right,
mm-hmm.
except there were some teachers there who would take that to the next level of, I'm here, come cry on my bosom.
Yep.
And so the students would get up and then they would go cry. They wouldn't go cry with this youth evangelist. He was actually a good guy. So he would just stand there and say, hey, you know, your teachers are there. And the teachers, a couple of those teachers were like, come to me. Mm-hmm. And then they would have this thing. And I'm like an academic. You know, we've been here 2 hours. We need to head to class.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No, Mr. Shaw, this is what
it's all about.
This is what it's about. I mean, Christian school, this is what we're about. I'm like, yeah, what I'm seeing here is a lot of crying and weeping and hugging each other and then hugging these teachers and hugging this and hugging that. I'm like, okay, all right. And so I let it go. The next year?
Same thing.
Yeah.
But nothing in the in-between.
Right. That's my problem, because I saw a lot of the same people who were doing same things.
Mm-hmm.
There was no transformation of character, which means there was no growth in grace, doing the same thing. And I was like, oh, you like this.
Mm-hmm.
You prepare yourself for this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I even remember one of the girls saying, oh, I got to take my tissues. I got to have my tissue. Where's my tissue box?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is your purging time.
Yep.
And I'm okay with that, because there are times where you need that purge. Every time you have to cry and say, God, it's just this burden or this heaviness or this lethargy in my life needs to go. And this is the time, as I'm hearing the message and the music and all that, this is helping me. I get it. But for this group here, it was just something they enjoyed.
Yeah, and that emotional catharsis that you feel is not confirmation that the Holy Spirit is now working and moving.
Right. Yeah.
So the strangely warm, I'm addressing it. This is a tough subject because it calls people out.
Yeah.
But I hope people will learn from this.
Very much.
And I appreciate Ryan, because Ryan, you do such a phenomenal job in teaching and leading youth and speaking here at church and also in meetings in the Christian schools and in the public school as a chaplain to the athletics department, football team. You do such a powerful job. You let God use you, and it's full of emotions and feelings as well as truth, but it's never that.
Well, that's what I was actually going to commend both of you two guys, because Dr. Shaw, I think you do that as well in your preaching. We are not robots at Clearview Church.
Yeah.
You know, we don't say, hey guys, emotions are bad and you're weak. There's people coming and crying on the altar at all times.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes,
the,
yes.
What's unique, I think, about Clearview Church is that we are in the middle, where we don't encourage you to come and cry and pour yourself all over this altar emotionally. The altar is open. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And the service, the sermon is not revolving around this goal that we need you to come up here and make a big display of.
Yes.
That's not the point of our services.
Yeah. I appreciate what you said, Dashana. And I've learned that from watching you and how you lead. And, you know, emotions are not leading people. Neither are they condemned at Clearview and in the way that we conduct services. That's here. Right. We put them in their proper place, which is where God intended for them to be.
100%.
Hopefully today was helpful for you. If you learned something about faith, about John Wesley, and about how you should respond to the gospel, write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. John, any encouragement you want to leave us, our listeners, with this weekend?
Absolutely. Make sure that you find yourself a good God-honoring church to go and worship in this weekend. Come and see us again on Monday, because we got a whole week of content prepared just for you right here on the Clearview Today Show.
That's right. You guys have a wonderful weekend. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.